Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're talking about the near call. We're using my text, Master's Thesis. We're on page 67 in that. But many things have happened since I wrote that thesis originally in 1977 or 8, and then turned it in 1980 as my master's thesis. It started out in bachelor's thesis. They were so excited about the information in there, they wanted me to do it as my master's thesis. And once I did, they said, expand it more and make it your doctorate. Well, I didn't do that, but now I am. I'm expanding it a lot further. The history of religion is a history of the evolution of theology. From Catholicism, and I should have my church history chart up behind me as I'm teaching this now, not only this, but the church history chart, because the church history is a evolution of theology. Now, God gives us a perfect message, as he gave Moses, and as he gives us in the New Testament, but people have to change it. There is no such thing as a non-denominational church, people. The only reason why there's non-denominational churches is because they want the Pentecostal, the tongue movement, and the faith healing movement, and the faith promise movement, and the seed faith, and all of this all glommed up into one big group of people. They don't care what you believe doctrinally, just as long as you have the experience with them. Now, people that have left a trail of error, as we talked about before, goes all the way back into the early 1800s. In the 1800s, was quite an evolution of theology. From all the cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Millennial Donist, and the Mormons, all of this go back from that period of time. All of this error. Satan is just opening the floodgates of hell into theology. And people have left a devastating trail of error and false teaching to where people only use the Bible as a tool to say what they want to say. I talked about Ephraim Klubnikin that founded the Pentecostal Russian movement, the Malachans. I talked about Charles Fox Parham from 1873 to 1929 that established and was a Methodist preacher that became, actually was chased out of that works, and many of the Methodist churches became fire-baptized Methodists. Talking in tongues, the holiness doctrine, that once you're baptized from that time on, you can live a sinless life. There's only one sinless person to ever live, and that's Jesus Christ. Smith Wigglesworth, the violent healer. And by the way, from Charles Fox Parham's group in 1900 to get to Topeka, Kansas, several of his students went out to be faith healers and were so violent like Wigglesworth that they killed people. And they had to either run from prosecution or whatever. They killed people. As Wigglesworth used to punch people in the stomach if they had stomach cancer or something, he'd hit them in the stomach and say, "You're healed." Kick that baby like a football and threw it against the wall and then tossed it back into the audience and said, "It's healed." Supposedly raised 14 people from the dead. If he ever did anything, it was not by the power of God. It was by the power of the other world. Paul talking to Timothy in Timothy 6. "But if anyone teaches otherwise and does not assent to sound and wholesome messages and doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the teaching which is in agreement with godliness and piety toward God, he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with conceit. And although he is woefully ignorant, He has a morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strife about words, which result in producing envy and jealousy. Quarrels and dissensions and abuse and insults and slander and base suspicions. And protecting, wrangling, and protracted, carried out and elongated wrangling and wearing discussions. Perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the true, who imagine that godliness is or righteousness is a source of profit. Joel Osteen is a great source of profit to him. Oral Roberts. Let's just go down and name some of them. Catherine Kuhlman. Amy Semple McPherson. Reverend Eichenkoder. Reverend Ike. Creflo Dollar. Benny Hinn. Rick Warren. Kenneth Copeland. T.D. Jakes. Joyce Meyer. Kenneth Hagin. Robert Schuller with the Kestrel Cathedral. Paula White. A.A. Allen, William Seymour. These are all people that have muddied the waters of Christianity. You can be a Catholic. You can be a Mormon. You can be a Buddhist. You can be an animist as long as you talk in tongues and believe in healing and you're one of the group. A source of profit and money-making business. A means of livelihood from such withdrawal. Indeed, it is a source of immense profit. For godliness accompanied with contentment, that contentment which is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and obviously we cannot take anything out of it. If we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content and satisfied. I didn't mention Jimmy Baker and Tammy Baker. I didn't mention Jimmy Swaggart, but they are all people that muddied the waters of reality in Christianity. The atonement took place on the cross of Calvary. The prosperity theology, sometimes called the prosperity gospel, health and well, gospel of the health and wellness, the gospel of success, the seed faith, is a controversial religious belief among Protestants and Catholics, Buddhists, Mormons. Anybody that will carry on with their type of evidence of salvation. It actually puts God at their disposal. I've had people in this tell me, this says, well, why wouldn't people believe? I don't know why don't people believe. They don't have to change their life. They can drink if they want to. They can dance if they want to. They can fool around a little bit if they want to. And not only that, but we got the cargo gods. As I spoke in the last message out down in the South Pacific, when they saw the American planes and the Allies going in there and dropping all these things in there, after the war was over, these people built effigies and landing fields wanting the cargo gods to come back and give them everything they needed. Sailing free with the candy and the candy bars and the coffee and the canned meats and beans and things that they never had before. They thought the white man, they thought the Americans, USA, was God. The prosperity gospel is no different than that. They put God at their disposal and God at their command. When you take God off of his throne and put yourself on the throne, now these people always have an exalted idea of man, that we are actually gods. We are created in God's image, and therefore we are created in God's sovereignty. We do have sovereignty over our destiny. We either believe or we don't believe. But we don't have sovereignty over God. God is our master. We are his servants. In this prosperity gospel, they make God a servant and man a master. They exalt man and bring God down below man. That God is nothing but a servant. The atonement and reconciliation to God is interpreted to include the elevation or the alleviation of sickness, poverty, which is viewed as curses to be broken by faith. This is believed to be achieved through donations of money, visualizations, positive confessions. I claim it. I name it. I claim it. Preachers that tell you, you go out today, you always wanted a Mercedes-Benz or a Cadillac, go out and buy one today. Just name it what you want and God will provide it. Just do it. You go out and do that and see what happens. I know what happened to many people that did that. They went out and bought Cadillacs and everything and they got repossessed. Oral Roberts talked about healing, 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 healing all the time, and yet he built a hospital. Why on earth would a healer build a hospital? That's just absolutely counterproductive. If you have the power to heal, just go down to the other hospitals that are already there and walk through them and heal everyone that's there. If I had the gift of healing, like the apostles had, which I don't and nobody else has either, I'd go empty all the hospitals. I'd have the hospital staff and the economic board after me. They wouldn't have any patients there. The doctors would have no patients. Everybody would be going broke if we really had to get the healing. The funeral homes would be greatly deprived of income. I started to say in the last message, I know that you probably, through the years, it's not as prevalent today, it's mostly on the internet now. Scams. These people are scam artists. Scam artists. You get something in the mail that says, your answer to your prayers and thoughts are in this envelope. Do not throw it away. And they go in there they'll have prayer cloths in there. Little prayer cloths that you put on what part of your body that's sick and just believe and name it. And you'll be well. And then you can send in for a bar of soap. I don't remember the guy that did that. This was quite a deal. And he would tell you to send in for a bar of soap that would cleanse you from all sin, from all sickness, that would get rid of all your enemies when you washed your hands in this salt, and this soap, you send off of this, he will send you this soap free. Or she, whatever the person was. You wash your hands with this, praying all the time, you have to say the right words in faith. Now you know, God is at your command if you say the right words. This is superstition. And this is voodoo, people. It's voodoo. Paganism. Wash your hands with this soap. It'll wash away all your sins. And then with clean hands and sinless hands, go to your wallet. And without looking, reach in there and pick out the largest denomination of money you have in and put, with clean hands, now, put that in the envelope and seal it and send it off to this ministry. We got the envelope there for you right now. There it is. All you have to do. Be sure and wash your hands and go through all things exactly or it won't work. You have to do exactly like we tell you. Chain letters. You ever heard of that? Send this letter off. That's voodoo. Now it's got forward this. And you'll get a blessing. Tricks. Oral Roberts Tricks. Reverend Dyke. Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Cogan. T.L. Osborne. Joel Osteen. Yeah, he makes me feel so good. I think I can just go out and do anything. That's false gospel, people. You got to settle down into the real world again. Prosperity gospel, health and wellness. Just name it and claim it. As long as you're doing God's will and praying, you can just do anything. This Pentecostal, Catholicostal, charismatic movement, Baptistcostals, promotes idolatry. That's contrary to Scripture. It exploits the poor because they think they're going to get rich. You got a dollar, you better invest it well. That's the only way you're going to get rich. Or if you work real hard. In the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, Pentecostalism was formed with different kind of ideals and theologies. It's called New Thought. It's called an American gospel of pragmatism, individualism, upward mobility. The American gospel. Brethren, there's only one gospel in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter tells you what that is. Andrew Carnegie's Gospel of Wealth. Russell Conwell's famous sermon, Acres of Diamonds. Conwell himself equated poverty with sin and said the only reason why you're poor is because you're a sinner. When you ask God in faith to give you millions or whatever you want, a house, a car, you'll have it. Joel Osteen does the same thing. He said, claim it. It's yours. You have a right. God wants it for you. This new thought goes through Buddhism, Catholicism, Mormonism, all types of paganism. It reaches into Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches, Anglican churches. It reaches ever. And it doesn't matter what you believe doctrinally, as long as you have this experience. You can get wealthy and you can be well. The New Thought Movement. This built bridges between religions. Now you've got Catholicism that you're praying to Mary. Okay? And to all the saints, which is idolatry. You've got Buddhists, which are basically, they believe in reincarnation. You've even got some forms of Islam that are basically charismatic. They talk in tongues. All you have to have is this experience, and that will take down all barriers. Doesn't matter what you believe. Like I said before, there is no such thing as a non-denominational church. You got to believe something. Charles Fillmore, one of the New Thought teachers, made material success a major emphasis of his movement. By the 20th century, the New Thought concepts had saturated the American popular culture on radio and television. Self-help programs, popular psychology, have a higher life. mind power, supernatural revelations other than the Bible. The Bible is God's holy word. It is true, it is perfect. We all are equipped with the same spiritual equipment, and that's the Word of God. You're not going to get another revelation. That's it. That's the perfect revelation. Kenyon taught, Fillmore taught, that the atonement, in the atonement, attained what we call financial healing and physical healing. The atonement does not contain healing. The atonement is salvation. Salvation. There's no healing in the atonement. The apostles and Jesus Christ did miracles to prove he was the Messiah. The apostles did miracles to prove that the word of God they were receiving was God's word. Oral Roberts began teaching his prosperity theology in 1947. In which God, if you give a dollar, God would give you $7 back. If you gave $100, you'd get $700 back. If you send money to discovertheword.com, all I can tell you is I'm going to preach. I'm going to put it into the Word of God and to propagating the Word of God. I'm not going to tell you you're going to get 5 times, 10 times, or 1 time more back. Except that you will have a peace of mind that you did support God's work. God's work needs to be supported. But these people emphasize giving. Oral Roberts characterized his blessings and his giving theology as a seed faith doctrine. The donations were a form of seed which would grow in value and return to the donor. Just like you go out there, you don't put one piece of wheat in the ground and expect one piece to come back up. You might get 100-fold or 1,000-fold sometimes. Same thing with corn. You plant one kernel of corn in the ground, you're going to have a lot more come up. That's what you call seed faith, he said. And it's the same way. It's really true, he says. Reverend Ike, a pastor from New York City, began preaching about prosperity in the 1960s on radio. He soon had a great audience in televisions and radio. He had a very flashy style. His openness about love and material possessions and teachings, the science of mind. Remember, we had Mary Baker Eddy too, Christian Science, which isn't Christian or science, either one. And that's all about healing too, isn't it? The Word of Faith movement. Bible Training Centers by Kenneth Hagin. Bible training? No. Not Bible training. It's their interpretation of the Bible training schools. Christianity has been plagued with Pentecostalism, Neo-Pentecostalism, materialism. We have been plagued with this on television. We played with it on radio. I used to live in Fish Lake Valley 30 and 40 years ago. And when they came out with satellite television. And I used to watch Dr. Gene Scott. He was quite a comedian. And a Bible interpreter. And I would watch him and I would think, Boy, he would be really good. That guy was on 24 hours a day. You know when they came out and set my satellite TV up? They put it on his channel because it was the strongest channel. And here all these Oral Roberts, all these guys were out there just preaching this prosperity gospel and healing. Gene Scott used to say, go in your kitchen and get some grape juice. Go in your kitchen and get some soda pop. Even get milk if you need. If you don't have anything else, get some milk. Or just a glass of water. And a cracker or a potato chip or a corn chip or anything. And when we take the Lord's Supper together, whatever ailment you have, the atonement, in the atonement is healing. And you take the Lord's Supper and you will attain healing. And salvation is a vehicle of grace, you know, just like the Catholic Church says in transubstantiation. I heard them say, whatever part of your body is hurting, go in there and get some olive oil if you got it. Corn oil, bacon grease, whatever, and rub it on there. And make a prayer of faith. You know, this sounds really ridiculous, people, but people have been told this. The theology of the prosperity gospel teaches that Christians are entitled to well-being because physical and spiritual realities are seen as one inseparable reality. If you're poor and you're saved, it's not God's will. God does not want you to be sick. They'll go out and their little healing sessions, and now we've got healing houses all over the country. Forms of voodoo. Everything you can think of is in this. Telling people, come, don't go to the doctor, come here, we'll take care of you. You can go in almost any city. You can go in even in Native American cultures, you can come in here and go into these healing houses where you're healed in spirit and mind and body. I guarantee you one thing. If you're healed by any of this culture, it is not from the Spirit of God. Satan is a master of confusion. A master of confusion. The prayer of Jabez sold millions of copies, didn't it? Name it and claim it. Joel Osteen, in all of his books that he's written, telling you that God loves you and whatever you have in your life, that God will stand behind you. Just name it and claim it. You can do it. Maybe you have to take second place to something, someplace, but you're going to get it. You'll have that wealth. You'll have that power. You'll have that fame. Because God gives you the right to claim it. The atonement, according to this group, is providing the alleviation of sickness and poverty and spiritual actions. Abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. You're going to be happy. You're going to find the woman of your love, the man of your dreams. They're forgiven whatever sins you have. When you talk in tongues, it's evidence of salvation. Healing is the evidence that God loves you. All of these people and all of these cults, this is a cult, people. These are cults. All of these cults want a lot of money because they're worthy of those donations. Didn't you feel better when you heard me preach today? That's what they'll say. Well, I preach about a lot of things. I try to teach. I teach history. I teach the evolution of theology, church history, and the Bible, from Hebrew and Greek. But in every message, I try to tell you how and what the formula of salvation. It's not laying on a hand. It's not getting beat on the back by somebody. It's not somebody coming over there and slapping you on the head and you hit the floor. It's laid in the Spirit. It is asking God to save your soul because of what Jesus did. And then you become His servant, His slave. He is not yours. Boy, these people really turned the tables on God, didn't they? Jesus Christ became your servant and your slave once so you could have eternal life. And they want to make Him your servant and slave forever? And now you're God and He's servant? No. Not the way it is. It is indeed a source of great profit. Godliness accompanied with contentment. Jealousy, quarrels. Men corrupted in mind and spirit and truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood. Some such withdrawal. I'm just telling you where to draw from. There are a lot of preachers out there, a lot of good churches. But almost every church today is influenced some way by Calvary Chapel or by Pentecostalism and this faith healing movement. My students come to me and say, well, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do this? I say, well, who are you listening to? Kenneth Copeland? Oral Roberts? Joyce Meyer? Who are you listening to? Jesus said, you follow me, you're going to be poor. You may be killed. If you follow me, your mother and your father may forsake you, or your brothers and sisters, if you follow me. You may become a martyr if you follow me. But you do have eternal life forever. Faith is something that is given to us. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The faith doesn't come from you. It comes from God. And people, these teachers will tell you that your faith that you muster up will command God to give you whatever you want. No, all faith comes from God. And that's a false gospel, people. It's a false gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He didn't die to become your slave forever. He died for your sins. He didn't go to hell and suffer for 3 days, as Kenneth Copeland said, and been born again down there so you could be born again and become a God like Him. No. We'll never be a God like Jesus, because He is God. God eternal. He owns you when you become saved. You put Jesus on the throne of your life. You don't go on the throne and tell Jesus what to do. Jesus tells you what to do from His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that you touch people's hearts with it, that you cleanse their minds and their souls and their habits and their misinformation that they have in this world. Father, forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name.